You're listening to Archer Radio.
I waited till I saw the sun. I don't know why I did.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queer cast on the internet. Today is Wednesday, November 9th, 2005. And it was actually kind of a misty, rainy day today. But being the day after Election Day, things are pretty good here in Virginia because Tim Kaine won the governorship in the state of Virginia. However, our Democratic candidates for lieutenant governor and attorney general did not win, which was sad. So I guess it was kind of a mixed outcome for the election. But I'm still very glad that Tim Kaine won as governor, because we need to keep the head of the state of Virginia a Democrat, of course. And it seems like across the country things were turned out well, but mixed. Like the initiatives in California did not pass, but the governor in New Jersey, the Democratic running. Blah, 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 blah. The Democratic candidate for the governor in New Jersey won, so that's two good governorships we got going to the Democrats. So that was good. Now, I gotta stop saying now. So last night before I went to bed, I finished reading a book that I've been reading for like the last 2 weeks. And this book is like the fourth book by an author that I enjoy, and his name is Alex Sanchez, and he's actually from the D.C. area. And the first book he wrote was called Rainbow Boys, and some of you might be familiar with that book, I don't know, but it was actually the first in a series of series of three so far. And it's about these three guys in high school, Jason, Kyle, and Nelson, and they're all gay, and the whole first book is like their coming out book. They come out in high school and deal with all the issues of coming out in high school. And I kind of got hooked on the series reading that first book. The thing about the Alex Sanchez's books is that they are very teenager friendly. All the books so far have been about teen coming-of-age things, stories, and there's a whole genre of that out there now for gay teens to be able to pick up a book and read about, you know, the coming-out stories of other teens. And I don't know why, as an adult, I enjoy reading that, probably because I did not have anything when I was a teenager to read positive stories of guys coming out in high school, so that's probably why I enjoy it. But anyway, I belong to the Gay Book of the Month Club. It's called ISO In Search Of, I think it is. But anyway, so I found the first book, Rainbow, it's called Rainbow Boys, on the Book of the Month Club, and of course quickly read it. And that's another thing, it's an easy read, it's a very quick read. The writing is very geared towards teenagers, I think. So I read that book, The Rainbow Boys, and kind of I wouldn't say fell in love with, but I really enjoyed the story of these guys coming out and how they are friends and the relationship between them and all. And then Alex Sanchez wrote So Hard to Say, which is another kind of teenage coming of age book, but it's about two totally different characters. Frederick and Zoe, they're a boy and a girl who, they come out in high school too. That's another really short, quick read book. But after that book, Alex Sanchez, followed up the Rainbow Boys with Rainbow High and talked about more about the boys in high school, the three boys from the first book, Nelson, Kyle, and Jason, and what they do in high school and graduation from high school and being kicked off the basketball team and all this kind of stuff. So yet again, it's another coming of age book, but you get to follow up with the three boys that you read about in the Rainbow Boys. And so, of course, I had to get that book as soon as it was released. And I think he's written all these books in like a matter of like 3 or 4 years. Let me see. Where the first book was written in... Oh, where is it? 2001. The second book was written in... I shouldn't say written. It was published in 2001. The second book was published in... 2004, and the third book was published in, if I can find it, 2003. I wonder why they released that one before that one. And then the fourth book, which it's the one I just finished reading, is called Rainbow Road, and it's again by Alex Sanchez, and it's the same three guys, but now they've finished with high school, and they take this trip across country. Because the one guy who came out in high school and had problems on the basketball team and all that kind of stuff is asked to speak at a high school for gay teens out in California. And the whole book is about the three of them traveling across country and how their relationships change. And because in the last book, I think it was the last book, Jason and Kyle became boyfriends. And Nelson was kind of this wild guy with pink hair and... he's definitely stands out in a crowd where the other two blend in much better. But it's another good teen coming of age book where kids can read about some positive relationships that young gay teens have. And I'm sure this is just the third book in a series, because of course it ends with plenty of things left open so that you can find out what's going to happen next, and I'm sure there'll be another book, but I just enjoy this kind of, this genre of book about the teens coming of age thing, again, because I never had anything like that to read when I was younger and coming out and all that. But I'm trying to remember, I got an email from a guy who, I wish I could remember that what it was. An author who has written two books up in Boston about gay guys or something like that, and he said to check out his books, and I've got it written down somewhere, but I haven't checked them out yet because I have like 12 books on my nightstand that I need to read yet. So, but I don't know which one I'm going to start next. But Rainbow Road was really good, and I enjoyed that. It was a quick read. I only read like 20 minutes every night before I go to bed, and I read that. I think I read this one in like 2 weeks. So if you're looking for a quick read, really nice story that highlights, positive relationships between young gay men. And really, there's no mention of sex. It's not like it's a sex book or anything at all. It actually talks about relationships between these guys. And, of course, they do have sex, but the guy, the author, mentions it in such a way that it's very mild and not... what's the word, salacious or whatever at all. It's actually done very well. So I have to stop saying actually too. I enjoyed these books, and I do look forward to the next one. And if you enjoy the same kind of genre, I suggest you check out Alex Sanchez. He's got 4 books done so far. I think he might even have more, but those are the 4 that I'm familiar with. And I forgot to mention that in the first book called Rainbow Boys, because Alex Sanchez is from the D.C. area, he kind of writes. He writes about different things in my area. Like he'll talk about highways or streets or the malls or whatever that are in the area. And I'm like, as I'm reading the book, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I know where that is. I've been there, that kind of thing. So it's kind of a easy way to relate to the stories. But so I enjoy those books. The only thing I don't care for is the covers. Well, I mean, I care for the covers, but there's three boys on the covers of three young men on the covers, and he's used different models on all 3 of the books. So you'd think that there would be some consistency in the models for the photographs on the cover of the books. But anyway, that's very minor compared to the stories. I like the stories. As I said, they're very simply written. It's a quick read. And you might enjoy them if you enjoy that kind of genre. And just in general, there seems to be an explosion of these teen coming-of-age books. I get my Gay Book of the Month Club thing in the mail every month, and there always seems to be another book that's been released about a story of some teen coming of age, coming out and realizing he's gay and going through that kind of thing. And I could recommend a ton of books for you to read, because I've read a lot of books, and I have to stop buying books because I'm running out of place to put them. But if you like that kind of thing, I could certainly recommend some if you'd like some. And let's see, let's stop the music. I wanted to play.
Hello, everyone. This is Mr. Larry Vader, and I'm the host of the Little Fatty Cast on littlefatty.com. So go ahead, grab yourself a glass of sweet tea and join me and a whole bunch of special guest hosts as we discuss the life of a 20-something-year-old, me, from here in the heart of the Deep South, Charleston, South Carolina. Now, if you want to hear more, you can check us out online at littlefatty.com, or you can search for us in iTunes. We'll see y'all soon.
All right, that was Larry of the Little Fatty Cast, and I, of course, listen to him every time he posts a show. Very cool. Actually, he had a really good show today because he had they were on Skype, and it was Big Fatty. It was, what's the guy's name? Omar from the Other O Show, and some guy I'm not sure from the Daily Purge. I can't think of his name. But anyway, that was a good show today. They were carrying on quite a lot. You know, the question came up about do those guys actually work in a coal mine? Well, obviously not. That's their, their cover for their job is, just like working in the coal mine, that kind of thing. But anyway, so listen to Little Fatty at the Little Fatty. Listen to Larry at littlefatty.com. I think I gave them a plug yesterday. I did. Now I do have, if I can find it, a Guess the Movie this week or today, because I promised you in yesterday's show that I would have a Guess the Movie. And here's the bad part. I don't know if I've already played this one before. I hope I haven't. I swear I can't remember. Now, of course, I have to find my little Guess the Movie thing. So let's listen to this.
It's time for another edition of Guess the Movie. You know how it works. I play an audio clip, and you send me an email with your guess. Good luck and enjoy the clip. I hope you know the movie.
Okay, now just a little bit of background. This movie is from 1996. Going with the theme of the books of teens coming of age and realizing they're gay, that's what this movie is about. I don't know if I should give you much more. However, I mean, if you enjoy the genre of gay-themed movies, you'll probably know what this is. And God, I hope I have not already done this movie before. But of course, you guys will let me know if I have. So listen to this clip.
What are you reading then? This is my mum's.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that in the shop. Hello.
Hello.
What bit you reading?
Oh, it's about Sally from Coronation Street.
What, that blonde one?
Yes, there's a real name, Sally, and all.
What, in real life, as well as on telly?
Yeah. I hate that name.
Do you always wear glasses when you read?
I'm supposed to.
You don't in school.
It's hardly fetching, is it?
No, it looks all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
So how's your sandwich?
Cheese and salad, bang on food.
Good for your spots, that.
That's right, good for your spots and all.
Have we got any spots?
Yours are clearing up.
Cheers.
Do you fancy that, Sally?
Not really. Do you?
I haven't given it much thought, really.
Do you fancy her next door?
Fancy Leah?
She fancies you.
Don't.
I'm only saying.
Jamie.
Are you going to sleep?
Yeah, I'm knackered.
I'll turn the light off. You all right?
Yeah.
Right. Steve.
What?
Night.
Night, Jamie.
So that's the clip of the movie, and I'm sure those of you who have seen this movie before know exactly what the movie is. So you can either leave a comment on the website, you can email me, archer@archerradio.com, or you can even call the voice line and leave a message there. That would be cool. Let's go back to the show music. This is a good one. Oh, by the way, we're listening to Nora Jones, and I know it's illegal to play music on a podcast, but I don't give a shit. I love this music. And this is Come Away With Me, which I love. The last thing I wanted to talk about tonight was Tuesday night. I was laying in bed flipping through the channels, and I just happened to come across PBS. I do watch PBS often, but I was flipping through the channels and came across PBS, and it was right at the time that Frontline was coming on. I don't know how many of you actually watch PBS or even Frontline, but Frontline always has some, that's not very good. Frontline has some very good documentaries, especially about current things. And this one, this particular show was, I believe it was called, let me see. It was called The Last Abortion Clinic. And here's the synopsis of it. It says, today, headlines speculate about how... Let me turn that music down first. That's a bit loud. Well, actually, maybe it's not as loud for you, but I think it's loud for me. Anyway, back to the Frontline show called The Last Abortion Clinic. The synopsis says, It says, today, headlines speculate about how a new U.S. Supreme Court would rule on abortion. But another story is playing out in local communities. By using state laws to regulate and limit abortion, and by creating their own clinics to offer alternatives to women, pro-life forces have changed the facts on the ground. And then it says, Frontline focuses on local battles in states like Mississippi, where only a single clinic performs the controversial procedure. Excuse me. So I really did not mean to stay up and watch the entire show. It was an hour long, but I watched this documentary on PBS about the last abortion clinic in Mississippi. Granted, they did talk about other facilities in the Gulf State region, but this one, it's amazing to think that in 2005, where, you know, well, I guess it's not that hard to think, but it's amazing to me that there's only one abortion clinic in the entire state of Mississippi that is still able to do abortions. That the Mississippi State Legislature has used the laws to regulate abortion so much that women are unable to get an abortion. And they showed this clinic and what these ladies have to go through just to get an abortion. For example, if you're a woman and you want to end a pregnancy, you have to first go into the clinic to see the doctor. You cannot do it that same day. You have to go through this procedure where you have to talk to the doctor and they have to explain the procedure and they have to, I think they even have to do an ultrasound so that you can see the baby, which of course would change the minds of some of these women, which I think it obviously has. But then you have to wait 24 hours before you can have the abortion. So it means if you live out in the rural areas of Mississippi and you have to drive 2 or 3 hours or whatever to get to the abortion clinic in the first place, then you have to turn around and then 24 hours later and drive back for the procedure. It limits the poor people's ability to get an abortion because they make it so hard. They justify it by saying that, okay, well, we're not saying you can't have an abortion. You just have to go through these regulations to get one. And they make it virtually impossible for the women who probably need them the most to be able to get one because of all the procedures. Like, they were showing the woman who was running the clinic, and she was talking on the phone to someone, and she was explaining that, you know, you have to come in for the first, you know, the initial consult, and we have to talk, and you have to read these things and all this kind of stuff. But then you have to come back, and the lady was like, she hung up the phone because it's like going to be impossible for her, you know, to drive back to the clinic because she lives so far away. And if you think about the people who would probably need the facility, well, I shouldn't say it that way, but the people who can least afford it will probably have the children anyway, because they wouldn't be able to get to the clinic, for one, and if they work, they wouldn't be able to take a day off, and then they have other children and having to get daycare. So basically, the state of Mississippi makes it impossible for women to get an abortion. And I think this is, Frontline was actually doing a good job of showing that this is the way that how the pro-life people are going to end abortion in the United States. They're going to use the state governments to regulate abortion so much that it will be impossible to get an abortion. Even though it's still legal, you won't be able to get one because of all the crap you have to go through to get one. Well, they also mentioned that coming up on November 30th is another case that could possibly limit abortions even more. Click on that and find out exactly what it is. It's like, well, there was this Casey case in 1992 that limited abortion even more. But November 30th, where is it? I was just reading that. Oh, ever since Planned Parenthood versus Casey in 1992, people got the impression that abortion was safe. Roe v. Wade was safe, explains William Salatan, the author of Bearing Right, How Conservatives Won the Abortion War. All of the pro-choice people went home. In the years after Casey, the pro-life movement has dramatically changed the landscape of abortion politics. In Mississippi alone, they helped pass 10 laws regulating abortion. And in the last 2 years, the state has passed legislation on fetal homicide prosecution, new clinic regulations, requirements to report abortion complications, rights of conscience, and a law that would prohibit the state's last abortion clinic from offering abortions beyond the first trimester. I mean, it's just, in any case, it was a really good documentary, and I'm sure it will be rerun on PBS at some point, and I suggest you, if you're at all interested in the abortion laws and how the pro-life people are, you know, ruining the right to have an abortion in our country, then you should check out the show. And actually, excuse me, there is a link on the PBS homepage, or the Frontline homepage, that says you can watch the full program online coming Thursday, November 10th. So if you have high speed, you should check the show out. And actually, Frontline is doing some really good shows. They're talking about where's the link I found? They have the torture question about torture, how the post 9/11 get tough policy at the highest levels of the U.S. government worked its way down to the cell blocks of Abu Ghraib. So they have some great documentaries. If you haven't found, or if you enjoy documentaries, Frontline would be a great place to see them. At the same time, PBS in general has great documentaries on, what night was it? I think it was Monday night, or I guess it was Monday night. I saw the these cool documentaries about the not state fairs, the world fairs. What's it called? Oh, fuck it, I don't know. But anyway, it was a good documentary on what's it called? God, the World Exposition in St. Louis, 1904, I guess it was. Anyway, check out PBS and Frontline. I know you'll enjoy those documentaries, because I do. God, this is a weird show. Books and documentaries. I'm sure it's boring as hell. Nothing funny to listen to. Okay, well, let me tell you about the weekend that's coming up. The boyfriend and I have, again, a busy schedule. I'm supposed to have a photo shoot at my house on Saturday, so I'm not sure if that's going to go off or not, but we'll see. And then Saturday evening, the boyfriend is having a dinner party and with some of the gay guys who were at the dinner we went to last weekend. And then Sunday evening, I'm going to get to meet some of the boyfriend's colleagues where he works. One of his colleagues is having a dinner, and he invited the boyfriend, and he said, and anybody's significant others. So the boyfriend is going to be bold and take me with him. So that should be very interesting. Of course, I'll report about that next week. I'm not sure, because Sunday, that's going to be a late evening. I don't know if I'll get a show ready for Monday morning or not. You'll just have to tune back in and see. Excuse me. So I'm definitely going to try to get some video and some audio record this weekend with the boyfriend. And I'll definitely have shows next week, but I'm not sure I'll have one up Monday morning or not. It all depends on how late Sunday evening is. Let's see, you're listening to this on Thursday, so tomorrow is Veterans Day, and I believe it's the 75th anniversary of Veterans Day being named or whatever. I'm not sure. But anyway, I hope you enjoy your Veterans Day. Oh, actually, probably a lot of people have it off. I, unfortunately, do not have Veterans Day off. I wonder if the boyfriend does. I'll have to ask him. Anyway, I think I will end the show there. Sorry it was so boring, but... you know, different things interest me, and reading and PBS are two of them. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, and guess the movie. Don't forget to guess that movie and listen to the clip again if you're not sure. You can do a Google search and try to find it. Anyway, email me. You can send voicemail or comments on the website. So, that's all for now, boys and girls. Until next time, bye.
Pick up a stone that I cast to the sky, hoping for some.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.